Sure does.
Because we are now joined.
This is the hot air that I'm going to be bringing in here.
By our dear friend.
We were going to say the sunny attitude, but yeah, sure.
I'll take that. And I will tell you, it's days like this that make me proud to be a Minnesotan, right? These are the days that provide equilibrium, right? And it makes those days in May and June feel that much more sweet. So, you know, I retrain my brain to look at a day of -9 as well. At least it's not -40, right? And, you know, as well, we also like to say, you know, we don't have hurricanes. We don't have poisonous spiders in general. Not too many poison. But we have cold weather and snow, and I'll take that over all of those other things combined.
You are the most relentlessly optimistic person I've ever known, and I cannot tell you how much I appreciate it.
I'm an eternal optimist, for
sure. This is Dr. Matt Hillman, of course, the Northfield Superintendent of Schools, who is here today to talk about what's going on in the school district. Good morning, Dr. Hillman.
Good morning, Rich and Ryan. Good to see you both this morning. Happy New Year. This is our first radio show in 2025, so excited for another great year of connection with our community through our local gem, KYMN Radio.
Woof.
Dr. Hillman, I've been liking to ask people since we've been coming into the new year, do you have any things that you're going to be working on for 2025? Not necessarily a resolution, but maybe just an ongoing effort or a resolution if you have it.
Does the day end in Y?
I've heard it does.
So I think that one of the things that as a school district and personally that I've adopted, I'm an old 4-H'er, right? So you know, as an old 4-H'er, you know, the motto is to make the best better. And that doesn't mean that what we did today wasn't good enough. What we did today was today. And so I think that the start of the year certainly is a calendar term, but I particularly personally pursue and ask all the staff and students in our district to as well that continuous improvement and improving ourselves is an ongoing thing. It's not just something that happens when you turn the page.
Right.
I think that we know that you know, there's a new commercial out that says, I didn't know this, but I think at the second Friday of January is called Quitter's Day or something like that, where all those you know, resolutions. So I'm less about resolutions and more about habits.
Yes.
So what are the habits that you're going to work on? And so I'm always looking at how can I adjust the habits that I have to be more efficient and to serve our community better, to be a better husband and dad and all of those kinds of things, friend, etc. So
there you go.
Mine is an ongoing state of reflection, which is mostly charming, sometimes annoying.
As opposed to the people who aren't reflective at all, which is mostly annoying and rarely charming. There it is.
Well, we could have an entire radio show
on
that.
Yes, well,
we sure could.
I think we have, actually. But anyway.
So why don't you kick us off with what's on the top of your list here today?
Well, the school board, when we come in January, the first actions that the board takes is through an organizational meeting. So we actually held two school board meetings last night, the first of which was our organizational meeting. And you can think of that as the beginning of the year, all just getting all of those systems in order, if you will, for the year. So we start off with our land acknowledgement statement. That's a policy that we have that was pushed and written and revised and presented by the 2021 District Youth Council. So Mae Bowers, a District Youth Council member, read that land acknowledgement statement. It's a statement that we read a few times a year. We also then swear in the entire board. So a lot of times you might see only the newly elected board members, you know, take the oath of office. Our office at the organization, or excuse me, our oath at the organizational meeting is a ceremonial oath. Newly elected board members actually sign the oath of office typically in December, sometimes in early January. So the oath that is taken at the meeting is actually a ceremonial oath. And over the last few years, we've been having all the board members, whether they're newly elected or not, stand and take the oath together. We think it's a great show of solidarity for our community. And of course, because we're Northfield, we had a special guest making a cameo appearance last night, Supreme Court Associate Justice Gordon Moore. How many school boards have an Associate Justice of the State Supreme Court who can come in to administer the oath of office? It's pretty cool.
I'm going to guess there are seven total.
Well, that's probably true as well. I'm not sure you're right on
that. You're right.
It might be fewer than that.
You're right.
Justice Moore is a former school board chair the Worthington School District, so he has a special place in his heart for school district, so it's wonderful to have him there administering the oath of office. And of course, the oath of office was even more special to our four elected board members. So of course, Claudia Gonzalez-George, Corey Butler, and Amy Gerwitz were reelected And so they took another oath last night, and then we welcomed newly elected board member Maggie Epstein to the board, and we're very excited for the service that Maggie is going to provide. So really just a joyous occasion as we swear in the newly elected board members, some who are being reelected, our one new board member, and then all of the board members in this show of solidarity pledging to serve their community to the best of their ability. We also elect officers. Mm-hmm. Our officers will remain exactly the same this year as they were last year. So the board chose to reelect Claudia Gonzalez-George as our chair, Corey Butler as our vice chair, Amy Gerwitz as our clerk, and Ben Miller as our treasurer. So we thank them for their additional service to the board, to the school district, and the community. And then we also do a number of just different things around just the mechanics of the board. So we the board voted to maintain its existing stipends. So the board does get paid a fairly small amount compared to the work that they do. But those stipends will remain for 2025. And then they also review a number of items for information. You know, they do some things like designating our legal counsel, the official district newspaper, the all-important mileage reimbursement rate, you know, those kinds mm-hmm. of just mechanics.
Sure.
And then they review a number of different policies that are about how the board runs. So we review the policy 203, which is the operation of the board. That's our bylaws, if you will, the code of ethics. We also review the public participation in school board meetings policy so we can reset the community about we want to have community feedback. We've used the same strategy for a long time, I would say successfully. And so just remind both the board and the public about that process. We do things like we talked last night a little bit about remote board meeting participation. So state law allows board members to participate remotely. We have a couple of board members due to their jobs that from time to time do need to participate remotely. So we just want the community to know what the rules are around that and remind the board what those rules are. So that's the kind of stuff that we do at the organizational meeting.
Gotcha. Sounds good. Get all those nuts and bolts together. And then you also were looking at charter schools, right?
We were.
Yes.
During our regular meeting in January, we typically have the two charter schools, mm-hmm. Prairie Creek Community School and Arcadia Charter School, that this Northfield School District, we are the authorizer for those two charter schools. Highly unusual in Minnesota. Only two public school districts in the state remain as authorizers. The rest of them are what are called single-purpose authorizers. And so we have Prairie Creek and Arcadia come and present really essentially a very similar report to what we ask all of our other schools to do in September, August and September, around really a school improvement report. And so we had Simon Tyler from Prairie Creek and Laura Stelter from Arcadia at the meeting to present the information for their schools. It includes, you know, certain things that they're proud of. So, for example, Prairie Creek highlighted an award-winning practice that they have, which is an all-school book club. Really an outstanding piece where four times a year the entire school reads the same book in their classrooms, and then it creates this opportunity for conversation. And, you know, they will pick some topics that can be a challenge to discuss so that the entire school can have a conversation around that. And they also then, both Arcadia and Prairie Creek, report on their test scores. They report on the progress toward the conditions that we have in their contract. They report about their financial circumstances. And that's really important. And when we talk about fund balance, which we'll talk about fund balance in just a few minutes here for the school district, charter schools are small. And so, you know, these are around, you know, a little more than 120 students or so. Prairie Creek's a little bit bigger, almost at 140. Mm-hmm. You know, Arcadia's around 113. But with a very small school like that, and charter schools don't have the ability to go and ask the voters for additional funds beyond what the state provides. There's some specialized formulas for charter schools, but they really need to live on their per pupil formula. And so having their fund balance at a larger percentage is really important. They're both above 30%. Of their annual expenditures in the bank. And that's important if you ever have a change, you know, a temporary change in how many students that you have. So, you know, for example, one year Arcadia had around 10 less students, I think, than the year before. For them, that's a really significant change.
It's a big
number. And so having that fund balance at a larger amount allows them to weather those kinds of things. And both of those charter schools, they're not exempt from the kinds of financial pressures that all school districts. So Arcadia last year had to do some very challenging budget decisions that in the short term, of course, affected their school community, but in the long term are going to make them, of course, much more viable as they move forward. Both of our charter schools are excellent. They're in good financial shape. They've got good processes and decisions. And so we are proud to authorize them. And, you know, listeners may have read in a Twin Cities newspaper a series of articles about charter school authorizers. Mm-hmm. You know, Northfield is a different charter school authorizer than almost all of the others, where they're a single purpose authorizer. We have a very narrow mission of only, authorizing charter schools that would like to plant themselves physically in the Northfield School District. Mm-hmm. And so our charter schools have very different results, both financially, academically, than many others. Because remember, charter schools were intended to be somewhat laboratory-like, right? Mm-hmm. They were intended to be freed from some of the state laws to provide an innovation lab, if you will. And our two charter schools really meet the spirit of what that original charter law was, the first charter school law in the nation right here in Minnesota. So really proud of Simon and Laura's leadership in the work at those two charter schools.
Very cool. Very impressive. He's so thorough and detailed. I'm like always trying to think of questions, and I'm like, nope, that got it covered.
I'll be less thorough.
There are rarely follow-ups with Dr. Hillman. Yeah.
And the thing is, I know you always have so much to talk about that I don't want to encumber our interview too much with too many questions, because we always have that pretty tight time, and it's like I want to give you the
That's code for Matt. Get it moving. Yes. We know. If you can just use that little symbol of speed up, Matt. Speed up.
Well, because otherwise I'm going to get into the weeds with some of the stuff, and I'm like, nope, got to keep it on track.
Totally agree. And we're just so grateful for the chance to share with the community. We think it's really important that the community has a transparent information about what's happening in the school district, and this is one of the ways that we do that.
Right.
So thanks
Absolutely.
For the opportunity.
Absolutely. Yeah. And tell us more about construction that's going on.
Yeah, so as we know, in November, district voters overwhelmingly approved 3 questions to reimagine Northfield High School. So now if you go to the website northfieldschools.org/reimagine, you'll see that we've converted that to a construction updates page. Mm-hmm. Pretty basic right now, but it'll continue to grow. Our core planning teams, we have over 40 people on the core planning team. They've met twice so far. We also have an activity subcommittee that won't begin meeting until later in February. They're focused really on the expanded gym and how the activities focus on that. Next week, we have tours set up. So we have teams from the core planning group next Tuesday doing, we have got a northern swing and kind of a local swing. So we have one team that is going to visit Owatonna High School. That's a new building. Waseca, that was a complete renovation. St. Peter's, a new high school. And then Tartan High School in Oakdale is probably one of the closest comparable projects to what we're doing, you know, here in Northfield. Tartan is probably about the same age as Northfield High School. Mm-hmm. They have some new construction, some demolition, some renovation. Mm-hmm. And then we have another team that is going to do what we call the Northern Excursion. A smaller group of people are going to travel to Virginia, Minnesota to see the brand new Rock Ridge High School.
Actually, it
does. In fact, Justice Moore was the one who really focused on saying, Matt, you really need to go see this one. The Supreme Court does an annual case at a high school, and he said, Matt, you've got to go see that. So we're taking a team to Rock Ridge, and then Mora High School, also a recently opened high school, is in that same part of the world, so we're going to visit that as well. And then next Wednesday, our activities subcommittee is going to visit 4 school districts that have an expanded gymnasium that we can look at and see how we could adapt those design principles to what we will construct. So we're going to visit New Prague, Mound Westonka, Moundsview, and Chisago Lake. We're continuing to have some input sessions. So just yesterday, the architectural firm had an input session for high school students during their flex time. We have an opportunity for middle school students coming up as well. Another high school session then on the 22nd in the evening. We're doing a specialized input session for our Spanish-speaking friends and neighbors. And thanks in advance to Mar Valdecantos for helping us with the translation at that event. So we'll continue to give you some updates about construction as time goes on. We're really right in that design phase now.
I love that you're taking into consideration feedback from all populations. You know, you're talking to parents, you're talking to students, to teachers. I think that's great, because I could see it very easily going the other way, where some districts, they just be like, nah, we're going to kind of do what we want and do what we think is best.
That's not our MO.
Yeah. No, I think it's so important to gather that information. My other question to you was, I finally thought of one. With the core group, were you able to get the diversity of folks that you were hoping for with that group?
I would say yes and no. Right.
Okay.
Most core planning groups are around a little more than 20. We have a good set of diverse voices. Diversity can be considered in a number of different ways.
Sure.
It is a diverse group, right?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's a set of diverse voices, diverse experiences, diverse roles, right? So I think we've achieved that. There's some other demographic diversity that I wish we could have had a little bit better of balance, but sometimes that, you know, we aim for that. Most often that works, but we have a great group of people who are doing excellent work for the community.
Good. Nice. Excellent. Excellent. So to wrap up our session here today, you want to talk about the budget.
Well, yes, the budget is important, and this is the time of year where we start our budget process. Our budget runs from July 1st to June 30th, and so we begin our budget process really with the audit. And as you know, in December, we reported to you that we had our sixth consecutive clean audit. That means that outside professionals look and say that the processes and procedures that we have to manage the school district's finances are exceptional, and that's a fair statement. It's unheard of to have six consecutive clean audits. Now, the way that you manage your budget and the amount of money that you have to spend are two different things, right?
Sure.
So the community can have great faith in the processes, procedures, and the methods that we use to manage the money that they have entrusted us with. In Minnesota, the vast majority of school district funds come from the state, over 70%. And the vast majority of those resources are based upon the number of students that you have.
Yep.
No secret that we're in declining enrollment. Just in Rice County, we've had a 12% decline in births over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just here. It's across the state and across the nation. We know we have a housing crisis here in Northfield. Very few single-family homes for sale, which are really the generators of students. And so we are projecting to finish 25-26, that's next school year, below our goal of 14% fund balance. A fund balance is the amount of money that you, the percentage that you have in your bank account of the annual expenditures that you expect to make. So coming up on January 27th, Val Murdestorf, our finance director, is going to provide her annual financial forecast. We already know she's projecting that we will finish 25-26 under 14%. We're just not exactly sure yet what that final projected number will be. We're still putting all the data in. We're trying to see what the legislature might do, which we can talk about that in a moment. So we are proactive. We respond rather than react. There's a difference, if you think about it, between responding to something and reacting to something. Reacting to something is often in a surprise, it's emotional, it lacks logic or forethought, and reacting, and many times, is a good thing, right? You have to react.
Mm-hmm.
We prefer to respond, which is a much more thoughtful, inclusive process that we are able to respond to the budget pressures that we have rather than react, if that makes sense. You're hearing me talk about this quite a bit over the next few months. So we are assembling priority-based budget teams again because we don't kick the can down the road, right? We have a very good fund balance, right? Even at what we're going to end up projecting at the end of next year, many school districts would kill to have that. But we don't just keep kicking the can down the road. We take the steps when are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to be inviting people from the community to join us in that budget prioritization process. It is always a challenge, right? Because we have so many great things happening and we don't want to lose any of them. But at the same time, we need to take those proactive steps for the long-term financial health of the school district. We are not alone. You are going to see a significant number of metropolitan school districts and more than a few rural school districts taking substantial reductions. Now, we have done this in the past because we're trying to get to a soft landing. So we have the ability to be thoughtful and measured because we have this very strong financial position.
Mm-hmm.
We have a strong financial position because we take proactive steps to make sure that the budget is in line.
Right.
So while there's always some concern and some disappointment when we have to go through this process, it is actually one of those responsibilities entrusted to us to make sure that we are keeping the financial house in order, not just for next year, but for the years to come.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that's probably one of the toughest parts of your role is when you do have to make these decisions where you know they're going to be hard. And it's just, you do have to look at the betterment of the entire district. You know, I mean, it's never easy to have to make those, you know, whether it's a budget reduction, so that's less resources, or if it maybe even results in workforce reduction, you know, whatever that may be. But to be able to move forward, because as you stated earlier, a very sharp reality of our world is declining birth rate across the country, and school districts across the country everywhere, I think, are going to be dealing with this reality in years moving forward. So,
and we know that population, you know, ebbs and flows. If you look at the history of the Northfield School District, you know, we have had spurts of growth, and we've had periods of stagnation and decline in terms of, you know, the population. It will come back, right? So we have to both operate about how do we make sure that we keep as many of the programs as we possibly can. Every program that we have means something to someone, right? There's nothing that we have, nobody cares. Everybody cares about all of the programs that we have because we have great programs, right? So you have to do both that piece to how can we maintain as much programming as we can while facing the reality of the finances that we have to do it.
Yeah.
And we also have to then try to make sure that we're continuing to set us up for the future. So this is difficult. It is not easy, but we have a good system to do it. We have a system that is open, transparent, public, inclusive, and people are going to be tired of talking about this. And it is important because this is the work that allows us to do all of the other things that we do.
Do you
have any handle on the size of the budget reduction that we're looking at?
We do not yet, no, because we're still looking at the financial parameters, right? Mm-hmm. Normally, we wouldn't have even really started talking about this in detail until the financial forecast comes out. However, just because we want to have a good runway for the process, we need to start recruiting people this week for those budget team meetings. They're going to be in February the 11th, the 18th, and the 25th. Mm-hmm. So we need to get people on board. So we know there will be something. How much is yet to be determined because we're still going through all of those particular financial assumptions and parameters and the things that we are using to project what that budget is going to look like. Okay. And, if we didn't have to do it, we wouldn't, because this is a lot of extra work that's important work, but nobody wants to do this. But we have to do it because it's the responsible thing to do to the community.
You're telling me that Val Murdestorf can't just magically, with that amazing brain of hers, can't just look at a spreadsheet and say, oh, yeah, we're going to have to save.
Well, I've been begging her to plant a money tree for years, and they just keep telling me it's something that's not possible. And the legislature is not helping us. We are still, the 2023 legislature made some substantial improvements. But just by way of example, you're going to hear me talking about the special education cross-subsidy again. This is the amount of our general fund that we used to pay for what I would consider to be morally imperative services for students with disabilities that we're not reimbursed for. So these are required services that are important, but the state and the federal government aren't even coming close to reimbursing us for what they have said over time. In Northfield, right now, even with the reduction that happened in the 2023 legislature, we're still spending about $4.3 million a year on that cross-subsidy.
Wow.
And so in a regular year, this is what we'll be really advocating at the legislature. But it's a mess. The legislature is in, and I love democracy because democracy produces some of the most beautiful things ever. And it also produces chaotic messes. And that is what we have right now. There is a chaotic...
Absolutely.
I question whether a budget will get done. I question whether they're going to be able to start, depending on how the court comes down on some of these really important pieces.
Yeah.
And I encourage people who are listening, our state government is so critical to all of the things that we hear. And from time to time, we hear something from the federal government, et cetera. But when it talks about resources, it is the state government that provides the vast majority of resources for the city, for us, for the counties. Paying attention to the state legislature and expecting them to do their work is really important.
Yeah.
We are fortunate to have quality representation, for our area at the Capitol. But this is something that some people may say, they just can't get it done. I'm going to check out, right? That's a lot of people about politics right now. And I understand that. Mm-hmm. I feel the same way in many ways. But you cannot sit on the sidelines. It cannot be done. You have to act. You have to make sure you let your legislators know what is it that we need. And we need to continue to fill this 20-year gap in underfunding that school districts had in Minnesota. Remember, the state constitution has two responsibilities for state government, schools and roads.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And some might argue that we're needing more for both.
Both.
So this is my call to action. If you want to join our legislative action committee, we meet twice a month, Saturday mornings on Zoom for about 45 minutes. We will teach you how to advocate in a nonpartisan way, but for kids and for school districts.
And continue to tune into KYMN to hear more from Dr. Hillman as he continuously visits us. Thank you, Dr. Hillman,
so much. My pleasure. Great to see you both this morning. Happy New Year, everybody.